longer slaves. And yet so often we live as if we are, but the debt has been paid. We've been adopted into the family of God. Let's live like that and let's worship like that.
Perfect song for Father's Day. In today's verse, is the perfect verse for Father's Day, because suddenly in our discussion of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul begins singling out the guys in church. And so, might as well do it today. We're going to begin in verse 8, but don't you dare read verses 9 beyond. I said don't do it. You're looking, because it gets scary. In fact, I expect there to be picketing next Sunday, even before I begin to preach, because these are verses that have been used in the American church for a long, long time to put women in their place. Now, fellas, you know me, been married for 30 years. What are the two words that I use that puts my wife in her place? As soon as I say these two words, she shuts up and she knows her place. What are those two words? Yes, dear. As soon as I say yes, dear, write that down. As soon as I say yes, dear, solves it. But today, the perfect verse for Father's Day, as he addresses men in the church, and we're talking about being thrown under the bus. 1 Timothy can be really hard. Not today, though. But can I tell you, I fell into the same old trap. Do you remember that I shared back on Mother's Day, I don't do Mother's Day and Father's Day sermons anymore, but I try to relate that whatever I'm preaching on to that? Well, today's a perfect example, and I fell into the same old trap that I used to do all the time, when I would literally take away from what I was preaching and do, here's how to be a mom, here's how to be a dad sermons. Mother's Day was, oh, ladies, you are just awesome, you're so sweet, you know, we are with you, God loves you. And Father's Day was, you guys are a bunch of jerks, right? And that's what it had become. And so when I began writing the sermon today and going, oh, this is perfect for Father's Day, what did I begin to write? Shit, you guys are jerks, right? I'm a jerk, duh. But it's a trap that we fall into. 1 Timothy and understanding 1 Timothy can be really hard, but not today. And part of the challenge is, when I'm preaching about being manly, fellas, there's two things that come to mind. One, I do not measure up. And anytime a girlie complains to me that Barbie is the, you know, this unrealistic standard that you have to live up to, you didn't have He-Man. Oh my goodness. He-Man, talk about roid rage. I'm like, how do I do that? So when I'm preaching about being manly today, I don't know. But Paul does, and he's got some very simple things that we can do to be pleasing to God as men. I want to say that, ladies, you can do this too, but that's not Paul's point. So this is your chance to look at your man and go, right, and ruin Father's Day. So let's open up our Bibles. You're not sure. Deanna's the only one clapping really loud. It's like, get to hold his feet to the fire. Look at verse 8 of chapter 2. To be manly, we need to be men of prayer. Now, I'm going to read the whole verse, but we're going to take sections out of it as we go. Therefore, oh, there's that word, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Did you see that first word? Therefore, what do we do when we see that word? We want to see what it's there for. Paul's been talking about two dudes that ruined their faith walk, right? Shipwrecked is the term that he used. They have ruined it, and he's handed them over to Satan. There's your Satan's bathtub or whatever that was. Yeah, hands them over to Satan, right? Ruined it. And then he says, guys, the entire church needs to be praying. And not only just praying, but praying for others. And not just praying for others, but kings and those in authority. Other focused. And now suddenly he singles out the men of the church to pray. The very thing that he just said. All right, ladies, here's your opportunity. Don't say it out loud unless you want it recorded on the internet for all time. Fill in the blank. One thing my man is great at is, right? Just, I don't know what you would fill in there. Would the first thing be prayer? I'm not even going to look. Would the first thing be prayer? Am I, are we known as men of prayer? Would our kids say that about us as dads? And why not? Now, part of it might be my fault, because it's my responsibility as the shepherd of this church, as the pastor of this church, to teach you to pray, teach you how to pray, because it's really, really simple. Because typically what people say to me is, I don't know how to pray, which is not true, because they just used words to talk to me. And I remind them of that when they say, well, I don't know how to pray. And I'm like, you just used words. If you can do that, you can pray. It's not that complicated. I'm not sure how much we really focus on it. And so that's why the last Sunday in July, we're going to give you the individual responsibility to be a part of something prayerful. So it might be my fault that you're not all that good at being prayerful. I saw this meme online. If you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it to you because I'm old. Prayer is either your steering wheel or your spare tire. Listen again. Prayer is either your steering wheel or your spare tire. The way you live your life will prove which one it is. Prayer is either your steering wheel or your spare tire. The way you live your life will prove which one it is. We need to be men of prayer. That's how we're manly. Look at the second part of verse 8. We need to be men of praise. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. Interesting. Without anger or disputing. The way we worship in church and outside of here. It's easy to worship in church. Can I be honest with you? It's easy to worship here. Out of here. It's a different story. The way we worship makes a huge impact on everyone around us, and even more so outside of the church. By the way, what is lifting holy hands? Now, speaking of prayer, I've prayed for those when I've played poker. God, give me a good hand here. Is that what he's talking about? Holy hands? What we know about holiness is that we are to be holy as God is holy, right? Commanded that three times in Scripture. What does it mean to lift holy hands? Fellas, what do we do with these? And the only thing I can think of is, if we're to be holy as God is holy, what did Jesus do with his hands? He healed a lot of people by touching them, didn't he? Didn't he do that? Now, that is so nice and it is so sweet. Can I tell you something else that he did with his hands? He made a whip. And he kicked over tables and he started whack-hoom, cracking people in church. Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? There's no way. Are those holy hands? Were his hands holy when he walked into the temple and said, enough! You have turned my father's house into a den of thieves. What was it supposed to be a house of? Anybody remember? Prayer. Interesting. What if we used our hands the same way that Jesus did? Hugging on people, showing them unconditional love, when it's appropriate, overturning money tables, because we turn church into something that God never intended it to be. We need to be more like Jesus. And if we're going to be men like Jesus, here's the hard part for me, the last part. We need to be men of peace. Therefore, there's that word again. I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Doggone it, Paul. Now, Paul is still getting across the idea that there's problems in the Ephesian church. The men specifically were causing trouble. How? When you look at the end of that verse, what are they doing? Angry. Right? Hulking out, angry. And then what? Disputing. Man, they're just arguing all that. Isn't that a fun church to go to? Where the guys in church are angry at each other and they're always disputing things. and they're arguing about stuff. Oh, that's just fun. And Paul goes, fellas, you're to be men of prayer. And you're to be men of praise. And when you're men of prayer and praise, it is so much easier to be a man of peace. So, one of the things that I love about our church is how much we've grown over the years. Some of you have been here a long, long time, all right? And some of you are relatively new. And one of the things I love to be able to do is say, Ian and I might be discussing something, and I'm like, let me tell you my God moment. I had a conversation with, and then mentioned the person's name, and they said I could tell you this. And we always go, it's amazing how much people have grown. And so I'm proud of this church, and I'm proud of the guys of this church, specifically today, because we are becoming these manly men that Paul has called us to be. If you're not in a Sunday school class or a small group, fellows, you are missing out. Missing out. By the way, you didn't hear it from me, but I've invited the guys in my Sunday or in my small group to come over to my house Wednesday night so we can pig out before I leave for vacation. All right? So, fellas, come on over. If it gets too rowdy, we'll move down to Greg's house because I know where he lives now. Just come and hang out with other guys that are on the same faith journey that you are. Let's become men of prayer. So let's stand together and close this morning with our closing song. And I'm going to be praying for you while this song is going on. Maybe, fellas, the great thing you want to do today to take prayer seriously is to come on up front. Let others pray with you about whatever it is you think you need to be praying for today. Let's stand together and sing. Father, we praise you for adopting us, that regardless of how awesome or how awful we are as dads, you are incredible. So we have no longer to fear. God, I'm so thankful for the men of this church and the growth that they constantly show. It is such an awesome thing. So we praise you for our dads today, those that are here, those that are no longer with us. May we be men and people of prayer. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pray.